Good morning and welcome to this episode of the Agile Podcast. As we continue our spin through the world of college athletics, I am pleased to be joined by the head women's basketball coach at Hilbert College, Nicole Bullock. Coach, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Now, what was the athletic culture like growing up in Sac City, Iowa?
Probably what you would think growing up in a very small Midwest town. Not a lot to do. I only graduated with 27 people in my graduating class. So, everyone played sports, and basketball was by far the most popular. So that's kind of what you did. I lived across the street actually from the recreation center, so I was in the gym all the time with my friends, by myself. Like, very much typical small town stuff.
Do you think people still stop by and look at the world's largest popcorn ball?
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's very popular. It has its own little like showcase. Like it's right by the museum, but it's actually got its own little building, so people for sure stop by.
Now, when did you know that basketball would be it for you? What was the point where you're like, you know what? Basketball would be my future.
Man, I don't really think I ever had that moment. I really just kind of fell into it. My senior year of college, we had a very successful season, and I remember towards the end of it realizing that I didn't want it to be over. And it was actually my head coach, Kelly Kruger, who approached me and said, I think you would be really good in this. You should try it. And asking me to be his graduate assistant when I was done with my eligibility. And I had never even really thought about it. I had really just thought about how sad I was going to be when it was over. And even talking to my parents after he approached me about it, my parents were same as me. This is a full-time job. Like this is something you can do. And then it was just like once I got into it, it became addictive, and I had to do it. I didn't want to do anything else once I got into it.
Now, it's probably been 2 years since you have played. Could you still step on a court right now and give us some buckets in like a 3-on-3 half court?
I mean, I would like to think so. I do step in and practice with our team if we are short or something, and I am quickly reminded that I'm no longer in basketball shape, but I try to do what I can, and I can still shoot it, so I really like to stand on the 3-point line and just kind of stick to my role, which is a corner three. But sometimes I what really my ego gets in me, and I just want to show the kids like how I can play, but my body is not quite in the same shape that it was when I was a player.
What was the toughest lesson you had to learn as a graduate assistant?
My toughest lesson was learning the boundaries from player to coach when you switch from being a student athlete to a coach, because I so quickly went from a student athlete to a coach that those were still my friends. The kids on the team, the freshmen and sophomores on the team, were now juniors and seniors, and those were my friends. So having to switch to a player coach relationship was probably the biggest lesson that I had to learn. And it was hard just because as a coach, you're now involved in conversations where you're talking strategy, you're talking basketball, you're talking all these things instead of, whereas in my world beforehand, it was, oh, this is my favorite teammate, this is my friend, this is who I like to do with this. It totally shifted from a totally different conversation, and I had to learn how to develop those boundaries and develop that player coach relationship that I never had even thought about before.
Your first as a head coach at the junior college level.
What was that again? Sorry.
When you became the head coach at
Oh, at Iowa
Iowa
Lakes.
Lakes Community College, take us through the first day.
Whirlwind is the biggest, best word I can use it. Every as an assistant, you always as you become more comfortable in that role and you become more comfortable with your coaching staff and your head coach, you think like, oh, I could totally do this. Like I could shift the 6 inches from this seat to this seat and I got it. And it's so much more than you even understand that I remember after my first 2 days calling Coach Kruger and saying, oh my gosh, I had no idea how much more was involved and I wasn't already involved in as an assistant. And it is all on you and the recruiting and your current players and the culture and everything that you are now solely responsible for, you have to think about all the time. So my first day was really taking all of that and funneling it like, okay, this, what do I want our program to be about? What do I not want them to be about? What holes do I have to fill in recruiting and how am I going to strategically go about it? And then just kind of taking it piece by piece to build this puzzle rather than looking at my unfinished puzzle and being completely overwhelmed.
I want to go more into this and kind of see what the first couple of days at Hilbert were like and where you see the program going, not just next year, but in the future. But that's after a quick timeout. We are listening to the AdRop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with AdRop podcast here with Spiggs Nicole Bullock, the head women's basketball coach at Hilbert College. Coach, when you made the transition to Hilbert, two-part question. What was the first thing that crossed your mind as something you wanted to accomplish, and how'd you celebrate?
So, I think for the first year, we really wanted to host a playoff game, make playoffs. We had a limited roster. We had been picked really low preseason because we had had such high graduation, COVID, and then this was the first year back from that. So, I think our kids and as a staff, we really wanted to just make our mark with that first year that we were here to continue building what had been done previously and that we were putting ourselves in a position to continue that success that had been happening. So it was a grind. It was hard. We had some random injuries. We had other injuries. We already had a limited roster. So I remember we had a couple makeup games that we had to do because COVID was still kind of a thing. So we had to play 3 games in 5 days with 6 people. And we were just kind of like, all right, we're just going to roll with it and see what happens. Like, we're just going to take caution to the wind, go at it as hard as we can and see what happens. And we went 3-0. And that was probably the biggest bonding point for our group. We were a small group. We celebrated it, I think, by getting those molten lava cake desserts from Johnny Rockets. And when we secured the home playoff game through a bunch of different tiebreakers, and I think it came down to strength of schedule, I think we all just kind of celebrated in the fact that we took a sigh of relief. We had been so back against the wall for so long that when that happened, we were like, okay, it was worth it. We did it. We've come this far. We can now kind of relax and enjoy the product of our success because it had been such a grind and such a whirlwind with what we were trying to do with a very limited roster.
As a coach, I'm sure that there are times of doubt. Have you ever felt as though there's been a bad day? Where you're like, am I meant to do this? Or has it been since you've coached so long, you can kind of ease through the bad days and kind of look forward to the positive ones?
It's kind of a combination of both. There's always, just like student athletes, there are always moments in the season that you just think, am I really built for this? Can I continue doing this? Am I the right fit for where I'm at? Like, there's always a little bit of doubt in the season that comes in, especially if and I don't even know if it's necessarily like when things are going bad or things are going well. There's always something going on that you're kind of like, oh man. Because every season is different. Every group is different. Every season is different. So you just kind of learn to take it in stride and then take those moments that you have the doubt, take a breath, reset. I really like to journal or I watch a movie that really like touches me or motivates me. And then I remind myself, yep, this is your why. This is why you're here. You are just fine. And you just have to continue doing what you know how to do, and everything will work itself out in the end. So I think the experience allows me to find what works for me, but every year there's always a moment where you're wondering, am I doing this right, and am I doing it correctly, and am I the right person?
Most coaches do. They want height, speed, all the measurables. What intangible must a player possess to be able to play for you?
I think the intangible thing is the attitude and effort of I'm always going to be a good teammate. We kind of stress that a lot, always being a good teammate. And yes, it's kind of vague, but it also allows them to be great as a teammate in a multitude of ways that doesn't really rely on sole talent, or doesn't rely on the pressure of being the offensive person, or the pressure of being the best player on the floor. It just allows you to be resilient in a multitude of ways and continually find ways to contribute to your team in a positive way. So that's really what we try to stress. And that's really what I look for when we're going recruiting. I'm the coach that's there early watching you warm up. I'm the coach that will stay to the end because I want to see how you walk through the line in a loss or in a win, how you pump up your teammates when they're struggling, how you talk to your parents after the game, win or loss, like how you act in all of those moments that show the true character of who you are as a person and a player. Those are the things that we look for because talent and skill can always be improved, taught, and made better. But who you are as a person is who you are as a person, and we really put high value on that in our program. So that's kind of the things that we really look for. And I would say the intangibles that really set our kids apart from other kids that aren't a part of our program.
Your vision for the team going for the next couple of years? Like, where would you like to see the team go as far as not just goals, but accomplishments and just the general feeling around the team?
I think going forward, we're really trying to get over the hump of the new staff being so new and really being comfortable and confident in the culture and the things that we're trying to set. It's, I've been blessed that I've had really good group of kids that have really like blindly just followed what we're trying to do. Because I'm not who they signed up for, right? Like I have two classes that were here before me and two classes that are ours. And the two classes that are ours, they're like, yeah, this is Coach Bullock. This is what we talked about. This is everything I wanted. And the two classes before, I was just, the Midwest woman that got hired for the job and came in. So they've been really great at buying into what we're trying to do and just kind of letting the faith develop and go forward. So I think now moving forward with these classes, we really want to really immerse ourselves in that identity because now we'll have a multitude of classes, three classes now with kids that are just really like immersed in what we've been trying to do as a staff. So, and I think that will longevity-wise help us progress and go in the direction that we're trying to go with all our goals, but it will also give us the confidence in our culture and the confidence within our locker room, within our gym, that, yep, this is exactly what we came here for. This is what we're trying to do, and here's how we're going to do it.
You're not on the court or in the office or recruiting. How do you get away from the game?
I'm really livid a lot, but when I really want to get away from it, I have two dogs who are my babies, my kids. So I spend a lot of time with them. We do a lot of walks. We do a lot of stuff at parks. And then I'm a foodie. I love to eat. So I usually go out to eat or do something when I want to get away. I love, and the food in Buffalo is amazing. So when I get to go out to eat, I really enjoy it.
In town to grab a meal, and what's on your plate?
Ooh. Okay, so in Buffalo, the wings really are amazing. So there's a really great wing spot that I love, and it's I'll go there. Or I'm a big burger gal, so a good burger will get me.
Now, living in Buffalo and living in Western New York, how does that compare with the Midwest, and what was the culture shock like between the two places?
So, what I can really say is like I spent a lot of time in Minneapolis, and I love Minneapolis. And Buffalo is very similar to Minneapolis. Obviously, not as big of a metro area as Minnie, but very similar in the people are really nice. The people are passionate about their food. They're passionate about their city, and so it's been an easier transition than I really thought it was going to be. It is not nearly as cold as Minneapolis. I will say that. A lot more snow, but not nearly as cold. So I am enjoying that part of it. Biggest culture shock for me, Bills fans. Bills Mafia here is, I've never seen anything like it. I enjoy it, but it's still, if you've never seen it live and see it consistently every Sunday, it is something else here. And I can't say I'm a part of it, but I do enjoy it.
Who like to jump through tables and I just I it's a scene in Buffalo. Buffalo is their fans are different. We'll leave it
They
at different.
are very passionate. And you know, a lot of kids that we recruit in this region and stuff, they're Bills fans. So they're also teaching me, but yes, the table jumping, the you know, just fully invested in every game. Josh Allen, Stefon Diggs right now, like everybody is fully invested. And so it is very that was probably the biggest culture shock for me was Bills Mafia.
Last question for you. If you had the ability to stand in front of every incoming freshman or every, let's just say, ninth grader who played basketball, what is one message that you would give to them?
I think the biggest thing that I would say to like you're talking about incoming high school freshmen. I think the two things that I would emphasize. One, just embrace the hard and the process because the growth that you're going to have from 9th to 12th grade is going to be something that you're never going to really fully understand or see. But it's going to be hard, it's going to be fun, but to enjoy that process and to embrace it because it is enjoyable when you can come out the other side. And then secondly, I think I would say to never lose your desire to develop your skills. Skill development transcends over all levels, and the more you can continue to embrace that, want to work on that, continue to want to develop your skills, the better you're going to be in the long run. And then it makes that other process and the love for the game never waver.
He is the head women's basketball coach at Hilbert College, Coach Nicole Bullock. Coach Bullock, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Thank you.